Everybody, Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in indeed. Get your children off the street and keep your friends and family close. CPAC conference is in session in Washington, and it's like a convocation of vampires. Be careful. Just be very careful. I don't know if I'm going to have time to talk about this tonight, but I just want to mention very quick. Lee, and perhaps you can do a little research yourself, and don't stop with the New York Times or Washington Post. Keep going. The Maldive Islands, M-A-L-D-I-V-E, the Maldives, they're off the coast of India. And our friend Edie in Atlanta sent me something from the Guardian of the UK. The information is all over the place. Al Jazeera has some good reporting on this. The democratically elected president of the Maldives has been forced out of office in what is referred to as a bloodless coup. He's the only one who's ever been elected. This kind of reminds me of the Haiti situation. It was bloodless because a gun was held to his head and he was told resign or else. Now, the thing interesting about this is that this is a guy, you probably heard about him. He's kind of been at the forefront of the warnings about global warming because of where he lives, his nation. The Maldives, there are hundreds and hundreds, I think, I may have this wrong, of islands that are kind of strung together. And most of them are at or below sea level. He even held a cabinet meeting underwater to demonstrate the fact that his nation could disappear. And it will. I mean, there's no way to stop the Maldives from eventually disappearing here, probably in your and my lifetime. But he was trying to demonstrate the urgent attention that these island nations need as they are slowly drowning, as kind of a warning to the rest of the world. So the government of the United States is okay with this coup. As Edie writes, our government has already recognized the people who pulled off the coup. This is like Guatemala last year. Do you remember? But a documentary due to be released next week called Island President is being shown at the Cannes Film Festival. And the maker of that film is now in hiding in the Maldives. But if you get a chance, I don't think I'll be able to get to this tonight. And the kind of detail that maybe tomorrow, I'm not sure. But just do some research. Maldives, M-A-L-D-I-V-E-S, the Maldive Nation, Maldive Islands, and come to your own conclusion. This hour is sponsored by Greg Rankin. Mike, this goes out to all Americans. A vote for any mainstream candidate is a show of support for further imperialist expansion and fascist warmongering. Bring our troops home and demand real national policies such as monetary, military, health, healthcare, trade, education, energy, transportation. You're either with us or against us. Peace. Thanks, Greg. Two states, Michigan and Pennsylvania, are now putting limits on families seeking food aid. Food aid. Food stamps. The AP cites as an example a couple in Michigan. The husband has a Ford Explorer that has 300,000 miles on it. And her family, the woman's family, had less than $1,000 in the bank. They had in their garage, though, a 2010 Buick Enclave. Those list around $35,000-$36,000. They didn't buy it. When the woman's mother died, that was left to them in the will. The income of this family had dropped to below the poverty level, but they were taken off of food stamps. All of a sudden, they weren't eligible anymore. And the reason, in the eyes of the state of Michigan, they owned too much. Less than a grand in the bank, a Ford Explorer with 300,000 miles on it, and a 2010 Buick Enclave that she had recently gotten as an inheritance or a gift from her now dead mother. You got to wonder how the state of Michigan knew about that, right? Now, unlike other states that moved away from setting limits on what families like this one can own before they qualify for help, Michigan has made it harder for thousands upon thousands of residents of that state to become eligible for food stamps. Pennsylvania also is toughening what they're calling the asset test, adding new restrictions on who gets government help. Food stamps. We're talking about food. God damn it. We're talking about food here, right? Now, is there fraud in the food stamp program? Of course. So get rid of the fraud. But that's not what this is. I'm going to try not to start screaming here this early in the show. The governor of Michigan, this Republican Nazi, Rick Snyder, said, quote, "We're asking tough things, but we had a huge budget deficit, and we had to work through that. We always try to help the people in the greatest need," end quote. Now, when the limits were put into place last fall, people on food stamps couldn't have more than $5,000 in the bank or own cars worth more than total $15,000. And that's when this woman, her husband, and the couple's two children, one's 9, one's 17, lost the $419 in monthly food stamps that they were receiving because that Buick that they inherited when the woman's mother died made them ineligible. How about that? Now, losing the food assistance for several months obviously worsened the family's financial situation. The woman is, she's 51. She's trying to finish her associate's degree in marketing and an internship so she can find a job. Her husband continues to look for very difficult to find carpentry and construction work. Now, what Michigan and Pennsylvania are doing here goes against the national trend. 36 states in the District of Columbia have no asset test to get food stamps. And 16 states eliminated that test in the last 2.5 years. That's according to the Washington-based Corporation for Enterprise Development. So it's come down to this. I remember Prairie 2 has been telling us for 5 years to buy canned goods or freeze-dried goods or something. But it's come down to this. Two states run by two Republican governors are now telling people, if you're hungry, if you're unemployed, if you're struggling, we're going to cut off your food stamps if you have a car sitting in the garage. And the irony here is they don't have money to buy gas for the goddamn thing. Okay, the quick answer, sell the car. Absolutely, sell the car. And I'm sure this couple, this middle-aged couple, will do just that. They were eligible. They were getting $400 a month in food stamps. Her mother dies, leaves them a car. All of a sudden, they are no longer eligible, and the food stamps are taken away. That's what it's come to in this country with these Republican vampires. This is what they've done. It never stops. I mean, it really doesn't. Just horror story after horror story of these bastards. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, vampires at the CPAC convention, but they are invited vampires.
Redefining Anger Management. Back to Mike Malloy.
Let it be, let it be. 21 past the hour. From a couple of sources, Salon.com and News1.com, two white supremacists will be speaking at the CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, that began, I think it began today. This is a massive right-wing circle jerk that is just a danger to the entire country. This place should be closed off with barbed wire and somebody toss stink bombs over the fence. I mean, this thing is, it reminds me, although I've not been to one, I got invited to one about 6 years ago. Remember that? The woman who invited me, I didn't know if it was a joke or not. So I wrote back to her using the F word liberally. And oh, it just freaked everybody out. I think Air America was, we were with Air America then. I think they had to, they sent me an email and said, please apologize to these people. But, any time that I've seen video of this collection of brain dead religious freaks, it reminds me of the German American Bund films. No offense to Germans, but that was comprised of Nazi sympathizers in this country. And for those of you who've seen these videos or have second and third hand knowledge of what was going on, there was a strong movement in this country to align with the Nazis. You know this, but high ranking Nazis would come to this country before the invasion of Poland and go to places like Chicago and New York and mostly in the north. They didn't come south, but they would hold these big rallies. And the Nazis would make their case to the American people about a national socialism, as it was called, the totalitarian brand of Hitler's, a thousand-year reign. But those videos remind me of what goes on at CPAC. You know, you have the audience is dark. The stage will be lit in a way that gives almost a Fourth Reich feel to it. And then these cretins come out. I heard some audio today of Jim DeMint talking about the president of the United States and the Democratic Party as though they were invaders from another planet. You know, anyone who tells you that the Republican Party is trying to break this country in half, listen to them, because that's precisely what they're doing. I mean, it's unbelievable. I can't believe the stuff that I'm hearing. I just can't. It's just astonishing. But two white supremacists now. The first one is named Peter Brimelow. He's the owner of the website VDARE, which is labeled by the Southern Poverty SPLC, Southern Poverty Legal. What is? Damn, I'm drawing a blank. Don't email. It'll come to me. It's labeled by the SPLC as an anti-immigration hate site. VDARE has featured the works of white supremacists like Jared Taylor, Sam Francis, Virginia Abernathy, Kevin McDonald, as well as really freaked out, bubble-eyed, brain-dead vampires like Michelle Malkin and Pat Buchanan. Now, if ever the United States had a homegrown Nazi, it's Pat Buchanan. Michelle Malkin is just out of her goddamn mind, like so many of these right-wingers. She had her 15 minutes anyway, 8 or 9 years ago. But Brimelow is a frequent guest on the white supremacist talk show titled The Political Cesspool, Sam aptly named, right? And is a featured anti-immigration activist despite the fact that he was born in England. Well, those are white people, see? Anyway, he's going to appear on a panel called, quote, The Failure of Multiculturalism, How the Pursuit of Diversity is Weakening the American Identity, end quote. No. The failure of multiculturalism, it should be the success of multiculturalism, you crazy bastard. How the pursuit of diversity is weakening the Caucasian race. Now, that might work. Take a look at our president there, buddy. The other white supremacist is Robert Vandervoort, who spoke on a panel recently called High Fences, Wide Gates, State versus the Feds, the Rule of Law, and American Identity. But once they start talking identity, watch out. There's Hitler for you. There he is. Heil. Heil, Hitler. Vandervoort works for the site proenglish.com and also was the organizer for Chicagoland Friends of American Renaissance, which regularly meets with the Chicago chapter of the Council of Conservative Citizens. Now, that's the bastard offspring of the KKK, the Council of Conservative Citizens. They don't wear hoods anymore. They dress up in suits. And they're still psychotic. They eat their own boogers. They have sex with their sisters, maybe their moms. They are just absolute pigs. Just horrible. And don't send me an email about pigs, all right? Please don't. American Renaissance is a white supremacist organization run by people like Jared Taylor. They organize a conference of racists, including neo-Nazis, the Klan, David Duke, and Stormfront owner Don Black. Now, this is the guilt by association that the Republican Party is going to wallow in at the CPAC conference. Remember, I said they're vampires.
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Greg, whose message is Mike. This goes out to all Americans. A vote for any mainstream candidate is a show of support for further imperialist expansion and fascist warmongering. Bring our troops home and demand real national policies such as monetary, military, health care, trade, education, energy, and transportation. You're either with us or you're against us. Peace. Thanks, Greg. For real. Another one of these right-wing jerk-offs that's attending the CPAC vampire convention is Marco Rubio, who... when he was first spit up on the national stage because, you know, he's so cute. And, you know, he's Cuban-American and he's from Florida and he's a Republican. Woohoo! And he did beat Charlie Crist and the other Republican guy down there. So to become a senator, I think I have food in my refrigerator older than this little twit. But the thing about him is the first thing out of his mouth was a lie. He said that his family had fled Cuba after Castro came to power. The truth is that, first of all, I think he was born in this country. Maybe not. It doesn't matter. His family got out of Cuba long before Castro came to power. But, you know, he's got his mythology to start. This is a guy that everybody's saying, well, you know, Mitt Romney's going to pick him as a VP choice. Okay, whatever. Anyway, he's speaking at the Circle Jerk in Washington, the CPAC Vampire Convention. And, like all of these scum, he's going after Obama for the reality of the religiously affiliated employers must cover the cost of their employees' birth control issue. Oh, this is such an earth-crushing issue. This is so important because after all, these government agents are going to go into religiously affiliated places and make sure that all the women's mouths are pried open and birth control and abortion pills and poison and demons and hairballs are shoved down their throat. Right, Mario? Right? Or Marco? I'm sorry, it's Rubio. Marco Rubio. Sounds like what the kids play in the pool during the summer. Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio. So there's Marco Rubio at the CPAC convention doing it again. Marco Rubio saying that, oh, this is an assault on Catholicism, and it's assault on Christianity, and it's assault on religion, and woo! But then he took it one step further to separate himself from this pack of vampires. He said, this isn't even a social issue. It's a constitutional issue. It is? Saying that, yeah, well, you're right, it is. It comes under the equal protection. You just have it asked backwards, Marco Rubio. You have it asked backwards. It is a constitutional issue. You can't have religious organizations whose leadership may not want birth control demanding that their employees not have birth control in the health insurance. AB, remember separation of church and state? Marco Rubio, do you remember that? Oh, my God. He said this about Democrats, and he thought he was really being funny. Listen to this. They don't call themselves liberals because they know conservatives make up the majority of America. Instead, they call themselves progressives, which I thought was the name of an insurance company. Ah! Oh, God! Oh, I'm choking here! Oh, my God, this guy is so funny. Progressives. I thought that was the name of... Oh, don't say it again. They call themselves progressive because I thought it was the name of insurance. Man. Rubio called Obama a terrible president. But if you ask him why... He'll say, well, they're going to pry open the mouths of people that don't want birth control pills and pop them in. You know, he's not going to come up with anything of substance. And he said the Obama administration hadn't accomplished anything good in 3 years. Marco Rubio said everything got worse, so he cannot run on his record. Marco Rubio. He added, the idea that the only way for some people to do better is for other people to do worse. That's what other countries believe. That's the kind of thought process that people come here to get away from. What the F is he talking about? But see, this is what they do. This is the brainwash. This is the Goebbels thing. This is it right here. Oh, well, you know. Marco Rubio will probably, you know, this is what I don't understand. Everybody said, well, he's very cute. I don't think he's cute. I think he looks a little bit like a Pekingese. He's not cute. Oh, he's so nice looking. Oh, isn't he? Oh, he's such a good boy. He's such a good boy. He may be cute to his mama or his aunties, but, oh, he's so cute. Oh, look at this. Santorum, in his wild ramblings, has taken aim at environmental regulations again. He was in Oklahoma today, which, is a very important part of the domestic energy industry out there in Oklahoma. The great city. Ever been to Oklahoma? Our good friend Bart Kopp lives there. Anyway, Santorum was there, and he told voters that opposition to fracking, you know, injecting water, steam under pressure, deep underground, causing earthquakes to break open shale formations or rock formations to get at the trapped gas, that system is utterly safe and nothing more than fear-mongering put out there by the President of the United States. Santorum said, quote, we have to have all sorts of government regulations because of the threats of hydrofracking. It's the new boogeyman. The new boogeyman. It's the new way to scare you. No, the way to scare me is about how Obama is going to have agents running into Catholic hospitals, prying open everyone's mouth and inserting birth control pills. That's scary, Rick. The hydrofracking? That's the new boogeyman. And later he imitated anti-fracking politicians and environmentalists, and he got into this little sing-songy thing. He said, oh, all this bad stuff's going to happen. We don't know all these chemicals and all this stuff. A condescending, you know, somebody says something like that to my face. If someone were to say something like that to my face, I'd be tempted to slap them right across their mouth. Bam! I'm serious. He went on to say, what's going to happen? Let me tell you what's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Bam! Again. You know, if it were someone other than a presidential candidate. I just don't, first of all, I don't know anyone who would have the balls to talk to me like that. Most of the people I know wouldn't because, you know, we're friends or we're associates or whatever, and adults don't talk that way. And if you say, well, Malloy, you talk that way on your radio program. Yeah, but this radio program is a gateway to hell. So, of course, I talk that way. I talk all kinds of ways on this program. But for someone who wants to be president, oh, all this bad stuff's going to happen. We don't know all these chemicals and all this stuff that they're putting in the ground. What's going to happen? Let me tell you, nothing. Bam. Now, this is not the first time this little twit, this person who likes to force his young children to handle a dead fetus. I can't wait to see what those kids are like when they grow up. No, never mind. Strike that. At a campaign stop in Colorado on Tuesday, he told voters that he never bought into that hoax of global warming. I don't buy into that. I'm too damn smart for that. Global warming, my ass. Global warming. Santorum then today reiterated his thoughts on climate change. He told the Oklahoma crowd that climate change is a, quote, politicization of science. It's all politics. Ain't no truth there. Come on. God's not going to do that. No, God may target liberals. He may rip their heads off and kill them and smash them, but he's not going to do that. He's not what? Global warming, please. Where does it say anything about that in the Bible?
To the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down.
All right, everybody together. Here we go. Yeah!
Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
we want our country to invade, goddammit!
That I'm proud to be an American.
Woo!
Where at least I know I'm
angels. Castle virtues are all swept away in the tidal destruction, the moral malaise. The elastic retreat.
Flying monkeys on the air, flying monkeys everywhere. I do not like them on my station. I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Greg Rankin. His message, Mike, this goes out to all Americans to vote for any mainstream candidate as a show of support for further imperialist expansion and fascist warmongering. Bring our troops home and demand real national policies such as monetary, military, healthcare, trade, education, energy, and transportation. You're either with us or against us. Peace. Thanks, Greg. Thank you. Mucho. From Daily Coast, Kaylee Joy Gray is the diarist there, and I've just got to share this with you. This is pretty phenomenal. Bridget sent this to me. The Catholic Church is afraid. It is afraid that Americans, even Catholic Americans, don't actually give much credence to the moralizing passed down and across the globe from Rome. Last month, Pope Benedict The 16th met with several members of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops to specifically advise them about how to best handle what the Pope described as, quote, a grave threat to religious freedom, end quote. The threat, according to the Pope, is the U.S. government's attempt to, quote, deny the right of conscientious objection on the part of Catholic individuals and institutions with regard to cooperation in intrinsically evil practices. End quote. My God. If you're thinking now of some of the most notorious intrinsically evil practices of our government to which Catholics might object, like war or capital punishment, you'd be wrong. The Pope and the bishops are concerned about the Obama administration's new policy to require that health insurers cover contraception without copays. And the Pope is especially concerned that if such a policy is implemented, and if Americans continue to not give a damn about what the Church has to say on such intrinsically evil practices as contraception, as the vast majority of American Catholics don't, this will, quote, delegitimize the Church's participation in public debate, end quote. That, of course, is the real fear, isn't it? That the Church will lose its influence over policy debates, that it will continue to lose its moral authority to dictate what our laws should be. And that's why the Catholic Church, from the Pope to the Conference of Catholic Bishops to the priests and churches across the country, has declared war to further assert its legitimacy. And now, despite the continued efforts of the Obama administration to allay the concerns of the bishops about health care for women and their continued and fully protected right to believe whatever they want, the bishops have a new demand, according to Anthony Piccirillo, general counsel for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Quote, there's been a lot of talk from the White House the last couple of days about compromise, but it sounds to us like a way to turn down the heat, to placate people without doing anything in particular, Piccirillo said. We're not going to do anything until this is fixed. End quote. That means removing the provision from the health care law altogether, he said, not simply changing it for Catholic employers and their insurers. No, removing it altogether. He cited the problem that would create for good Catholic business people who can't in good conscience cooperate with this. If I quit this job and opened a Taco Bell, I'd be covered by the mandate, Piccirillo said. So that's the real concern? If Anthony Piccirillo decides he's done fixing the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops' legal troubles, a huge and daunting job, no doubt, and trades it in to sell chalupas, he'll be forced against his conscience to allow his employees to purchase contraception through their health insurance without a copay? Can you imagine a worse injustice? How about this one? A systemic and widespread conspiracy over decades to cover up the rape and molestation of thousands of children. How's that, Piccirillo? You freak. And to the Pope and the Council of Bishops, you hypocritical bastards, every single one of you, you no more represent the teachings of the person you declared to be your savior than you represent the teachings of Genghis Khan. As a matter of fact, the comparison there might be closer to the one of your Jesus. How dare you? How dare you suggest that offering health insurance that covers pregnancy control, it's not birth control, it's pregnancy control, you goddamn freaks. How dare you when your whole organization is systematically involved in the cover-up of the rape and molestation of children. For how many years, how many decades, you self-righteous punks, every single one of you? You think your Jesus is waiting for you with open arms? Your Jesus is waiting for you with a Kalashnikov. Trust me, you scum. A grave threat? Intrinsically evil practice of offering health insurance that includes birth control, pregnancy control without a copay? You filthy child raping, cover-upping bastard, you.
Dial is
Oh, all right. Sorry, Kathy. What?
Well, church night was last night. Can we? Valentine's Day is right around the. We dial back the.
Oh my
the,
God!
The filthy bastard parts.
Just my God! I can't.
I mean, I'm a woman and I have the ovaries and stuff, and I'm not quite that head up about it.
Well,
maybe you should be. I'm used to it. Well, no, I mean, my health insurance has nothing to do with any church or religion, and they didn't cover my damn birth control pills for 20 years, so. Pregnancy control pills, and I took them not to control pregnancy, but to hormone regulation.
Yeah, because
and they still didn't cover it.
Right, absolutely.
And it had nothing to do with the Catholics.
I know, I'm just saying,
it's misogyny.
I'm sorry.
I guess lots of different hats.
I got very carried away there, and this issue is driving me crazy because when you have an organization like the Catholic Church, who has as one of its organizing principles the systematic and systemic rape of children and cover up. And then they're going to talk about Obama is doing something intrinsically evil with pregnancy prevention pills. Oh, Jesus, so to speak. This is the Malloy program. It is 7 past the hour. This hour is sponsored by Michael Karsh. His message, tell your state legislators to support a resolution to amend the Constitution to overturn Citizens United. Move to Amend is the only organization proposing an amendment that will abolish both corporate personhood and the idea that money is speech. P.S. Thin mints, please. Thanks, Michael. It's the hypocrisy it always is. Sex with caribou. Sex with caribou. Yeah, somebody sent this to me. What? It's clear right now the House Republicans are. Oh, and by the way, as Harry Reid pointed out today, all this talk is about a rule that hasn't even been put into effect yet. If it goes into effect, it doesn't go into effect until sometime next year in 2013. Right? Okay. House Republicans are obviously obsessed with sex. Any kind. They are terrified of woman sex. They are tempted to try man sex, the males, but they're terrified of that. They don't know what to do about the Holy Roman Church that rapes children, except to stand there and cluck their tongues. So now it's animal sex. The dumbest man in the history of Texas politics, Representative Louie Gohmert. That's his name. Google him sometime. G-O-H-M-E-R-T. Representative Louie Gohmert is all about caribou. The Texas Republican who is not exactly known as a champion of animal rights, or about oil. He said his primary concern in the development of the Alaskan oil pipeline is the sex life of the caribou surrounding the project. Here's his theory. The caribou very much enjoy the warmth that the pipeline radiates. So he told his colleagues, quote, "So when they want to go on a date, they invite each other to head over to the pipeline." He said that. He went on, "It's apparently the equivalent of being wined and dined. And that has resulted in a tenfold caribou population boom," he said. Quote, "So my real concern now, if oil stops running through the pipeline, do we need a study to see how adversely the caribou would be affected if that warm oil ever quit flowing?" So while Gohmert and the Republicans will do their damnedest to make sure women can't get birth control, this freak bastard wants to make sure that animals get laid. My God. The dumbest man in the history of Texas politics. Is Rick Perry?
I'm thinking Rick Perry, George Bush. I mean, there are just so many villages there missing their idiots.
Yeah, but Louis Gohmert. I mean, do you know about this guy?
Love the name, though.
Gohmert?
Animal rights. You know, PETA'd probably like him. You can't argue with somebody who's looking out for the
caribou getting laid.
The wanton caribou.
Right.
I wonder if he would deny them contraceptives.
That's an interesting point. All right, it's time once again that the right wing calls, "You know, Malloy hates the military." It's time for one of those episodes. I'm sure you've seen the picture now. There it is. 10 snipers, Marine Corps snipers. Picture was taken apparently in Afghanistan, and they've divided themselves into two groups of five, and between them is an American flag, and right underneath it is the flag that was used by the Schutzstaffel. That was the police and military force of the Nazi Party that was distinct from the General Army, or the SS, the Schutzstaffel, SS. And you know what that SS looks like. They're the two, like two lightning bolts. You've seen that before. We've all seen it from all the movies. Well, here you go. A sniper team. The Marine Corps now has its fatigues in a wad. Here's this photograph of a sniper team in Afghanistan in front of the American flag and Schutzstaffel underneath it. The Nazi SS, of course, murdered millions of Jews, gypsies, gay people, liberals, progressives, anybody they could get their goddamn hands on. The Corps issued a statement saying that the symbol was not acceptable. However, Major Gabrielle Chapin, a spokeswoman at Camp Pendleton, said, "Well, you know, that doesn't represent the Schutzstaffel. That doesn't represent the SS. That's meant to represent the words sniper scouts." Sniper scouts! Schutzstaffel. Who can tell the difference when it is that kind of distinct lettering? Right, Major Gabrielle Chapin? Major Chapin said, quote, "I don't believe that the Marines involved would ever use any type of symbol associated with Nazi Germany, the Nazi Germany military criminal organization that committed mass atrocities in World War II. Well, in the first place, it wasn't the Nazi Germany military. It was distinct from the army. It was the Schutzstaffel. Now, this is the second time this year the Marine Corps has had to do damage control. You remember the picture of, or the video, really, of the Marines urinating on the dead bodies of what they claim were Taliban fighters. And people in Afghanistan, of course, say no. Those are just civilians whom these invaders had killed. So, you know, you place your money and you take your bet. Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation in Washington said he's been flooded with calls from former Marines who themselves are offended by the photo. And from one member of his organization who is an Auschwitz concentration camp survivor, Mikey Weinstein said, quote, "This is a complete and total outrage." Weinstein said his organization sending a letter seeking a full investigation to both the head of the Marine Corps and defense, or War Secretary Leon Panetta. Weinstein said, first we have Marines peeing on dead bodies, and now this. Now, Major Gabriel Chapin said that the Marines in the photograph are no longer with the unit, and she didn't even know if they were still in the Corps. The SS. And as you know, the SS units were held responsible and was declared a criminal organization at the Nuremberg War Crime Trials. Of course, the Nuremberg War Crime Trials don't matter anymore. They mean nothing. Just ask George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Barack Obama.
So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
Mother, do you think she's good enough?
21 past the hour. I guess it bears repeating. What the hell? I got an email from Roz who points out the obvious. I've said it before, too. The Nazis were demons from hell, but they had great uniforms. And yeah, that's true. If you can suspend, and I think any of us can do that, the atrocities committed and just look at the uniform now that they've been defeated. But the thing that we need to remember is that the person who designed the uniforms, who died in 1948, still has his line of clothing sold all over the country, Hugo Boss. He was the designer. Oh, who cares? Nobody gives a damn. Just like next time you get on an elevator, look and see if it's manufactured by Siemens. Or consider Bayer. Any number of companies that were directly involved in the extermination of millions of people and the use of slave labor in the 30s and 40s in Germany. Oh, well, never mind. I mentioned Marco Rubio, the Republican senator from Florida, earlier tonight, and Marco Rubio has now introduced legislation that is a direct attack on women. Women who will benefit under the Obama administration rule. you know, that insurance that will go into effect, if it goes into effect in 2013, that says, you know, no matter who you are, it doesn't make any difference. If you have employees, you must offer health insurance, and including the health insurance, along with pills to make a man's penis erect, there have to be pills that prevent a pregnancy. They're called pregnancy control pills, or in the popular meme, birth control. Of course, they're not birth control. They're pregnancy control. Who starts these words, these memes, and then everybody says, oh yeah, okay. Who starts out with saying it's birth control when it is not? But I digress. That means that women who work for many hospitals and universities, like nurses and janitorial staff and professors, would be denied access to this benefit because their bosses oppose birth control. And the bill is gaining momentum in the Senate because a lot of Democrats in the Senate are starting to show their asses and run like scared rabbits away from this issue instead of standing and saying, no, damn it. They're demagoguing this issue. But, you know, they're Democrats, so they're going to turn tail and run. God, I wish I had a political party that I could believe in. Oh, I know, there's a couple out there, but I mean a political party that was organized around the principles of human rights, justice, common sense, decency, some sort of a sense of ethics. They don't even have to be moral. You can throw the moral aspect out. Just ethical, interested in justice, the morality will follow. Interested in justice, whether it's economic justice, political justice. But no, we have what we have. I got two very interesting emails today, and I want to share them with you when we come back out of this break. One is from Steve. Not Steve the banker, a different Steve. And the subject line, a Catholic who generally agrees with you. And the other is from Kate Petrini, our education affairs correspondent, whose subject line says, coming from stars. This references what we were talking about last night. When I mentioned that, you know, Molly, being a typical 7-year-old, started about a year ago, actually, when she was about six. Was she about six when she started asking all the questions about death?
Two.
No, she wasn't two, Kathy. No, she was six. And when we go to bed at night, Kathy would read to her. Molly reads, you know, occasionally Kathy still reads to her. Molly reads to herself now, but Kathy would read to her, and then Kathy come down and do the finishing touches here in the studio in the program, and I'd lay in bed with Molly and tell her a story. She always wants to hear stories about the old days when I was a kid, you know, back before there. Well, never mind. But one night out of the clear blue, she sat up in bed and she just said to me that she hates the fact that every once in a while she has the thought that she's going to die. Woo! Well, that started the conversation. And over the next several months, it's not an issue now, and I think we have it settled for a while. But over the succeeding several months, Molly and I talked about this.
Well, it helped that I stopped reading her nighttime stories from the Necronomicon.
That probably had something to do with it. We'll be right back.
Mike Malloy, turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
This is the end.
It's not a bad thing. 25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Michael, who writes, tell your state legislators to support a resolution to amend the Constitution to overturn Citizens United. Move to Amend is the only organization proposing such an amendment that will abolish both corporate personhood and the money is speech thing. Thin Mints, please. You got them, Michael. Okay, we could call this Uncle Mike's Story Corner, but I'm not going to play the music. The first one is from Kate Petrini. She writes, hi, Mike. I wish I had time to write up a real report card on this topic because it's one of my favorites. But since I have no time, this will have to do. I really enjoyed hearing about your conversation with Molly, in which you explained to her your belief that we are made of molecules that were once part of the stars, and that once we die, those molecules rearrange themselves into some other form, or back into a previous one. I'm paraphrasing, but I think that's sort of the gist of what you said. Hearing your words on the podcast this afternoon immediately made me think of this excerpt from Friedrich Nietzsche's The Birth of Tragedy. Quote, there's an old legend that King Midas, for a long time, hunted the wise Silenus, the companion of Dionysus, in the forest without catching him. When Silenus finally fell into the king's hands, the king asked what was the best thing of all for men, the very finest. The Silenus remained silent, motionless, and inflexible, until, compelled by the king, he finally broke out into shrill laughter and said these words, suffering creature, born for a day, child of accident and toil, why are you forcing me to say what would give you the greatest pleasure not to hear? The very best thing for you is totally unreachable, not to have been born, not to exist, to be nothing. The second best thing for you, however, is this, to die soon. Kay goes on, full disclosure, my knowledge of Nietzsche is extremely limited. I was not a philosophy major and only studied some of his writings as part of my graduate program in German literature. But I distinctly remember that my initial reaction to this passage was shock and horror. I mean, how menschenfeindlich or misanthropic could Nietzsche be? Menschenfeindlich is one of my favorite German words. Literally translated, means to be an enemy toward humankind. But the standard translation is misanthropic. Of course, my views changed after exploring The Birth of Tragedy in one of our seminars. I came to realize that actually Nietzsche made a lot of sense to me. To put his thoughts into my own inadequate words, this. We break off from the greater whole, the cosmos, the stars, in order to be born in individuals, as individuals. The state of being an individual is an illusion. And the disconnectedness from one another that we experience is the source of all human suffering. This is why it would be better to remain part of the greater whole. That is the answer King Midas received from Dionysus' companion. The best thing for you and for all human beings is to never become individuals, i.e. to never be born. But since it's too late for that, the next best thing is to go back into the whole as soon as possible, the whole, whole. In other words, to cease being an individual, to die. Buddhist and Romantic thought encompass similar ideas, although the focus is more on giving up the illusion of autonomy and individualism as opposed to dying. In any event, each of these philosophies recognizes that everything is interconnected, that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, and that no person is an island, which is precisely why they are shunned by the so-called Christian majority in this country. You know, the so-called Christians who cheer for the idea that a man who does not have health insurance should be left to die. The so-called Christians who actually believe that collective bargaining is detrimental to workers and vote for officials who are hell-bent on destroying the unions. Instead, these so-called Christians cling to their illusions of rugged individualism and pull yourself up by your bootstraps, even as their lives crumble around them. And that is very good news for Newt Gingrich and the rest of the Republican clowns who successfully pander to these so-called Christians every chance they get. Kay, and you can visit her website, kaysreportcard.com. Once again, I apologize for the garbled attempt on my part to pronounce German words. I just do not do a good job of it. All right, now the second email I got was from a guy named Steve, and he writes, Mike, I've read to you before. After you read this email, you may utter a big WTF, except you will probably say the words. I've listened over the last few nights about your talks about religion. I've listened to many of your talks about religion. I often agree with you. In some weird way, I have a real problem with religion. What makes this weird is in my head is that I am Catholic. I attend Mass regularly. I pray the rosary almost every day. And I'm gay. However, I've come to the conclusion that the guys in the funny hats, particularly the ones in Rome, have little, if anything, to say to me. I've gone through times of doubt, though I've never doubted the existence of a sentient higher power. I have doubted that he or she cares about us. I've been through times where, given the utter sad story of affairs in the world, I thought of God as nothing more than an omniscient autistic child who created all this stuff, became bored, and walked away. Right now, I'm at a point where I do believe in a sentient higher power. I guess some of the reasons I have not left my church is because I have nowhere else to go. That's a whole other issue and important for this email. But in addition, perhaps because I'm lucky, when I moved from D.C. to New York City, the only family I had was a GLBT group at my church. My dearest friends are brother and sister Catholics who happen to be gay. The church I go to has a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender group in one form or another for 20 years, and not that a crazy group that says people have to be celibate. Thankfully, my experience with the church, since I converted late in life and did not grow up in the church, is much different from the BS that characterizes the men in the funny hats and the main one in Rome. When I needed rent money after I lost my job, it was my parish that gave it to me. When I needed money to go into psychotherapy, my pastor wrote me a check out of his personal funds. My partner comes with me to church. The entire clerical staff has known him, so I've been fortunate. However, and this is the reason I'm writing you, I have had my quarrels. My pastor appointed me to the parish council in 2004. After the election of the current pope, I quit. I couldn't walk through the doors without feeling nauseous. Yet it was after that, in 2007, when I lost my job and two grandparents in 5 months. Those people were there for me. The people of my parish were there for me. So why am I writing this to you? I'm not trying to convince you that there are good parishes out there. I'm not trying to convince you that there are good parishes anywhere. What I'm trying to show are a few reasons why some people who should disdain the church can't disdain it. At least not all of it. Don't get me wrong, so much of what the hierarchy says is crap. They don't live in my world. I frankly can't relate to them, and they can't relate to me. It's for this reason that I, as a Catholic, like your rants about the church's hypocrisy. Jesus related most poignantly to the powers of his day by pointing out their hypocrisy. So while there are some who may say they want to stop it, they may say they can't listen, I, for one, find your comments pointing out the rank hypocrisy necessary to hear. Often, those of us on the inside don't like or can't see the worst aspects of our group. It takes someone like you to point it out. It takes you to make me confront the hypocrisy. Mike, Christianity should be about the Beatitudes. As I've seen this whole silly birth control thing, I'm disgusted. Every day we're forced to pay taxes for death and destruction, whether it be through military expenditures or expenditures to perpetuate a so-called justice system that kills people. Where's the outrage over this coercion? Where is the consternation over taxation to support things we say we are against. So, what do the men in funny hats get pissed about? Condoms, diaphragms, IUDs. I gotta think that if Jesus were standing here watching this, his words would look something like this. Quote, there are people killing in my name. There are people starving while other people are buying $50,000 purses. There are people who don't have water. There are people who don't have clothing. You are killing people every day, and you're on about birth control? Okay, you really aren't ready for my whole love. You're not really ready for my whole love your neighbor and do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, meme. So forget it. Go on about worrying about stupid stuff. And when you get that out of your system, I'll be back for a refresher course on the love your neighbor golden rule stuff. So thanks, Mike. You keep me honest. Steve.
If you're not this angry, then you're not paying attention. Back to Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Michael Karsh. His message, tell your state legislators to support a resolution to amend the Constitution, thereby overturning Citizens United. Move to Amend is the only organization proposing such an amendment that will abolish both corporate personhood and the money is speech thing. Thin mints, please. You got 'em. It's kind of off topic, but as the Times pointed out this morning in an editorial or yesterday, the list of outrages coming out of the Republican-controlled House is a long one. But the way the Republicans are trying to hijack this transportation bill defies belief. This is a $260 billion bill. Here's a brief and by no means exhaustive list of the bill's many defects. First of all, and this is a big deal here in Atlanta. They've been talking about it here in Atlanta for the past week or so because we have a almost mass transit system here that's been in effect in one form or another for about the past 30 years, 35 years. And that's a long story, but we're going to lose millions if this bill passes. It says here, the bill would make financing for mass transit more vulnerable and less certain than it is now by ending a 30-year agreement that guaranteed mass transit a 1/5 share of the fuel taxes and other user fees in the Highway Trust Fund. And instead, it would compete annually with other programs. Now, this let me digress. This is in keeping with the oil cartels. They don't want mass transit. Are you out of your mind? Next thing you know, they'll be talking electric trains. I mean, it was the oil industry that killed the electric car to begin with and then killed a comprehensive mass transit system in L.A. And look what happened there. But you know this. Also, the bill would make it would open nearly all of the coastal waters of America to oil and gas drilling. All of it, including environmentally fragile areas that have been off limits forever with Republican and Democratic administrations. You've got to understand something. Obama may be Republican light, but these Republicans are not Republicans. These sons of bitches are clearly religious fascists. There is no question here. and the destruction of everything to hurry the arrival of their twisted version of their Messiah is what they're all about. And that's all they're about. The bill also would demolish environmental protections by imposing arbitrary deadlines on legally mandated environmental reviews of proposed road and highway projects. In other words, this bill would say, okay, we're going to run a road through the Grand Canyon. You got 30 days to hold your hearings and decide. If it's not handled in 30 days, the bulldozers arrive. And remember, these Christian evangelicals believe that the Grand Canyon was formed by the flood of Noah, that Noah experienced less than 6,000 years ago, or around 6,000 years ago. So what the hell difference does the Grand Canyon make? The fact that it's millions of years old is a lie to them. It's a lie. It's not millions of years old. It was caused by the flood. Oh, my God. And then the editorial goes on to point out, in 1982, with Ronald Reagan's blessing, Congress agreed to to take 80% of the Highway Trust Fund revenues to use for highways, bridges, and tunnels, you know, for cars, and 20% to subways, bus lines, and other forms of mass transit. In 2010... that meant that around $32 billion was available for highways and bridges and so on, and about $8 billion for mass transit. But what the Republicans want to do is direct all of the money to roads and bridges. It would authorize a one-time payment of $40 billion over 5 years for all the other transportation programs, including mass transit. And the smaller initiatives that are designed to improve air quality and ease congestion. Now, where the $40 billion will come from that the Republicans are talking about is more smoke and mirrors. The idea that oil revenues from increased drilling will provide it is delusional. Ray LaHood, who's a Republican and is Obama's transportation secretary, says that this is, quote, the worst transportation bill, end quote, that he's seen in 35 years of public service. And you wonder why I talk about, well, not you, I know you know, but a lot of people hear this program for the first or the fifth time, go, Jesus Christ, first this guy's insane. But secondly, why is he talking about the Republican Party? The party of God and Jesus is out to kill us all. Where does he get this stuff? Well, I'll tell you what, Bubala, it's out there for you too. All you have to do is open your goddamn eyes, turn off Fox, turn off the Rupert Murdoch Terror Broadcast Organization, wake up and smell the napalm. We'll take a break and we'll be back. And I'm not finished. There is more hell to raise tonight. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. La 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 la. All right, welcome back. It is 6:30 past the hour. The Malloy Show continues on a Thursday night. The Occupy organization in California, I don't know if you've been following this. This would be probably Occupy LA, because it's Riverside, California. Is that right? About 20 California activists have, with Occupy Movement, have surrounded a local house this past weekend to prevent Freddie Mac, the company that spent millions or hundreds of thousands, what, $1.6 million to Gingrich's pockets to have him give them history lessons, that Freddie Mac, and Chase Bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, one of the biggest fraudulent organizations in the history of the banking industry, those two are about to foreclose on a house that is owned by, or whose payments are being made by Arturo De Los Santos, a former Marine who told the Riverside City News Service that he fell behind on his payments when business plummeted at the factory where he's employed. Now, the Occupy activists have moved into the house, even amid rumors that the sheriff's deputies were coming to seize it. Now, this was on the weekend. I don't think anything has happened yet. If you know about this and something has happened, feel free to send me an email. De Los Santos, the homeowner, said he applied for a modification to his mortgage to lower his monthly costs. And, of course, he was rejected by Chase. You know, these banks are not in the business to help people where it concerns the gouging that they took by the banks to begin with. No more than insurance companies are in the business to make sure that you live a long and healthy life. That's not what these companies are in business for. In this case, Chase Bank is in business to rip this poor bastard as deeply and as severely as they can. They've collected all sorts of payments from him, 99% of which you can bet your butt have gone for interest payments. And now they just want their property back, and they do consider it to be their property. If De Los Santos is a former Marine, tough. Now, I've had this question before. Since De Los Santos is a former Marine, why doesn't his old platoon get together and come out and occupy his house instead of people from Occupy LA or Occupy, well, wherever they're from, but let's assume Occupy LA. Why not send out a platoon of Marines? I mean, this is one of their buddies who, according to the mythology, went into a war zone to defend freedom and the American way and all this other garbage that is pumped into the heads of young people when they do find themselves in the military. And if I can make one point, if I could make one point to young people who are considering joining the military, if you want to join, go ahead. If you feel that's going to make you more of a patriot, go ahead and do it. But don't kid yourself into believing that you're doing it to defend the United States. You are not. You are doing it to act as a tool of U.S. capitalism, period. So go in it with your eyes open. If you insist on going in, but do go in with your eyes open. I digress. So De Los Santos, whose application to modify his mortgage to lower his monthly payments, Chase more or less told him to go pound sand where the sun don't shine. You know, hey, Marine, you served your country, which means you served us. We're done with you. Get out of our house. Wow, man. So after he was rejected by Chase when he tried to modify his loan arrangement and lower his payments, De Los Santos was notified that the bank was initiating foreclosure proceedings, and a local judge granted possession to the mortgage giant Freddie Mac, which guaranteed the loan, last week. And that allows the local sheriff to seize the property, a situation De Los Santos and the occupiers are trying to prevent. Now, the California News Service reports, quote, he said, I think it's De Los Santos, he said around 20 demonstrators are staying inside and outside the three-bedroom property. De Los Santos told CNS last week that he was prepared to get arrested to spotlight how, quote, the bank is messing up, end quote. The former U.S. Marine sent a letter to Sheriff Stan Sniff explaining his circumstances and asking the county's top law enforcement officer not to carry out an eviction, end quote. Now, as you know, if you've been reading the news, following the news across the country, Occupy Our Homes. That's the offshoot of the Occupy movement. They're drawing attention to these problems by placing homeless families in vacant houses, or by disrupting foreclosure auctions, right? Or forcing banks to renegotiate mortgage terms on properties in foreclosure. In the Atlanta area here, an Atlanta woman said, I know because I'm still in my home. They got everyday people like myself involved, everyday people contacting Chase and advocating for me, and peaceful demonstrations, and people calling and writing in. And she got her loan modified. But again, when I saw this story, I mean, it's not a new story. This has gone on hundreds of thousands, millions of times now, ever since this fraudulent, filthy American banking system went belly up and you and I had to bail these thieving sons of bitches out, thanks to George W. Bush. But you see it all the time. Families being kicked to the curb by capitalism. Capitalism is the most family murdering organization, system ever put together. Whether it's murdering families in Afghanistan to get at their natural resources, or murdering families in Iraq to get at the oil, or kicking families to the curb here and causing all kinds of psychological, social, environmental problems for these people, throwing them out of their houses so they can make their goddamn profit. Capitalism is filthy. It always has been. It always will be. And for you Republicans who want to continue to vote to support it, you're crazy. You're fools. Eventually, it will strangle you. And if it doesn't strangle you, it'll strangle your children or your grandchildren. What the hell? Why don't people wake up? But I again, when I saw the story, I thought to myself, a former Marine, huh? Okay. Where's the buddies from your Paloon, Mr. De Los Santos? Do they know the problem that you're having? Why not send Marines out in full battle dress, huh? And then bring the goddamn sheriff's department or some executives from Chase Bank or some of these lard asses from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Bring them out to repossess the house. And see if they're willing to walk on the man's property with a full platoon of Marines ready to do battle to protect one of their own. Huh? When do you think that's going to happen? Do you suppose it'll happen? Or do you think that when it does happen, the Marines will be on the side of Chase Bank? Interesting question, don't you think? But Mr. De Los Santos, I can tell you right now that without some sort of massive public outcry about your situation, which is multiplied hundreds of thousands of times every day across the fruited plain here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Without a public outcry, your home is gone. Your family will be homeless. You'll be on the street unless you do something. You got the phone numbers of all your former mates? Huh? I don't even know if you were in a combat zone, but I'd be willing to bet that you were. Wouldn't that be an interesting outcome? A bunch of thugs show up to repossess somebody's house and they're met with a platoon of Marines. Oh, my goodness.
Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Past the hour. Now, using a platoon of Marines may become necessary. There was a deal signed, last night, a deal between the federal government and 49 state attorneys general. It's a settlement worth about $25 billion with five major banks over mortgage fraud abuses. Mortgage fraud abuses. Now, the bank signed off on this. The agreement is with J.P. Morgan Chase, with whom we were just talking about, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Ally Financial, and Citigroup. The deal was announced this morning in D.C., and a federal judge still have to sign off on it. Of the 49 attorneys general that signed on it, one didn't. And this is this freak in Oklahoma, Scott Pruitt. He wouldn't sign because he doesn't think banks should see any penalty. Jesus God. Oh, the people this system produces is just amazing. But I digress. The details are starting to come out, and This is the broadest settlement, we know this, for wrongdoing, for illegal activity, for criminal activity, for violating the law. That's what the word wrongdoing means. This is the biggest settlement for corporate wrongdoing since the settlement with the tobacco industry. And it still sucks. The settlement, $25 billion, is not even a tenth of the $700 billion in negative equity in the housing market as a result of all the fraud committed by these banks. $25 billion. What is that, 8%? 7? 6? If it were 10%, it'd be $70 billion. So what is it? 3%? Unbelievable. And it's being touted as some kind of a nice agreement here. $25 billion. Do you know what that is to these five banks? J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Ally, and Citigroup. Do you know what $25 billion is? That's an afternoon's hiccup. That's a rounding error. That's nothing. But, oh, we've got a settlement now. Homeowners? Oh, yeah, okay. This is what George Zornick, writing at TheNation.com, was able to glean out of this. Homeowners will get some help, but not enough. The New York Times estimates the average homeowner relief will be $20,000. But the average underwater home is underwater $50,000. Not 20, 50. So, how does a homeowner benefit? One expert told the New York Times, I just don't think this is going to be a life-changing event for borrowers. That would be homeowners like former Marine De Los Santos. Now, the deal calls for, quote, 750,000 people who lost their homes to foreclosure from September 2008 to the end of 2011 to receive checks for about $2,000. $2,000. Imagine a bank essentially took your home from you, likely through fraudulent means, and now you're going to get a check for $2,000? Oh, my goodness! Willie Stupid, come on down! $2,000. Now, the penalties banks will pay will come in large part, according to this, from investor money. About $5 billion of the settlement is actual money from the banks. The rest of it comes from someone else. This is how capitalism works. So the banks will pay $5 billion. And the negative equity that's noticeable now is $700 billion. Oh, great settlement, Obama administration. This is really wonderful. I'm sure that homeowners foreclosed on by these predatory sons of bitches I just named will be out dancing in the streets tonight. Ooh, did you hear, sweetheart? We're going to get a check for $2,000. Yeah, but we don't have a home anymore. Oh, but we'll get two grand. Isn't that wonderful? So the deal is really good in terms of limiting immunity given to the banks. Oh, my God. So any more battles to get any more settlements, you're going to have to fight each individual bank. This is a sign-off. This is something where 49 out of 50 attorneys general have decided to sign off on this. And the only one who didn't is not doing so because he doesn't think the bank should pay anything. This is how capitalism works. How does it feel? Do you feel that feeling right between your shoulder blades, Mr. and Ms. Former homeowner? Do you feel it? Now, get your asses out there and vote Republican, because you know this is all Obama's fault.
It's a special club for the privileged few. Not for me, not for you. It's a wonderful life, no stress, no strife, never hurry, never worry like the poor folk do. And oh, it must be fun to be so wealthy, filthy, rich and young. Why, I wonder what great things they've done to become the fortunate ones. They're the happy members of the lucky sperm club.
The revolution starts right now. Here's Mike Malloy.
Look at the state of the world that we live in, where no one gives a damn about the future of children. Just building a cash flow, making a bank account. Let us expose the truth. Is that what the war's about? Because I don't understand.
25 before the hour. In Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel newspaper there. And you can get more on what I'm going to share with you here at JSOnline.com, JSOnline.com. But as you know, the fascist little twit of a governor there, Scott Walker, is soon going to be recalled. I think that recall election comes in March. But according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, as legislative leaders secretly developed new election maps last year to strengthen their majority, you know, gerrymandering or realigning the various state congressional districts, Republican lawmakers were told to ignore public comments and instead focus only on what was said in private strategy sessions. That's according to a Republican memo that became public this Monday. Other newly released documents also show almost all Republican lawmakers signed legal agreements promising not to discuss the new maps while they were being developed. Do you understand that now? This is you, for you people in Wisconsin. These are your elected representatives signing a document swearing them to secrecy, that while they carve up the state to increase and solidify the Republican majority, they're not to talk about it. And you think they're your employees? You think that they work for you, the citizens of Wisconsin? Are you out of your goddamn minds? Are you as insane in Wisconsin as you have been showing yourselves to be lately? First of all, by electing the Scott Walker freak? I mean, this is what the hell is wrong in Wisconsin? What is going on? Republican lawmakers, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Republican lawmakers fought releasing these new documents and testifying about the maps in a pending court case, but relented after a panel of three federal judges based in Milwaukee found they had filed frivolous motions in trying to shield the information from the public. They don't want you to know. This is like Dick Cheney and his energy conference. all those years ago. I mean, people of Wisconsin, do you not feel like you're having your face pushed down a toilet by these so-called representatives who are saying this is none of your business? What? Doesn't Wisconsin have a sunshine law, open records law, or something of the sort? I think they do. Included in the documents released a couple of days ago was a set of talking points. They always have those, don't they? Republican talking points that said, essentially, all right, this is what we want you to say in public. Now, this is not what we're going to be talking about in private. What we're going to talk about in private is continuing to do our dirty work. But out in public, oh, no, remember, talk about Jesus. Talk about the dirty abortion people. Talk about how they're trying to force birth control pills down the throats of poor, innocent little Catholics. Talk about that. But don't talk about what's going on in here. The documents... Or this memo, the talking points stressed that anyone who discussed the maps could eventually be called as a witness in a court case. Oh, really? So don't say a word. The talking points memo also said, quote, public comments on this map may be different from what you hear in this room. Ignore the public comments, end quote. Now, every 10 years, states have to draw new legislative and congressional maps to account for population changes, according to U.S. Senate or the Census Bureau, blah, blah, blah. In Wisconsin, courts have largely drawn the maps in past decades because of partisan gridlock. But Republicans were able to approve maps that benefited them last year because they control state government. Okay. And even before these maps were unveiled, according to the Milwaukee newspaper, a group of Democratic residents sued over the issue in federal court in Milwaukee. The case doesn't go before a three-judge panel until February 21st. And the argument is that the maps violate the U.S. Constitution and Federal Voting Rights Act because of the way they treat minority communities and more voters from one district to another. What they're trying to do, obviously, they move all the dark-skinned people into these little tiny districts. Or they dilute the districts so the little dark-skinned people will never, ever, ever have any representation. Just good Wisconsin Caucasoids. And conservative ones at that. That means religious fanatics and neo-fascists. Yes, indeed. An immigrant rights group contends that Republicans violated the state's open meetings law in how they developed the maps and filed a complaint Monday with the Dane County District Attorney. Now, as a point of fact, legislative leaders sometimes ask rank-and-file legislators to be quiet about sensitive legislation that we're working on. Maybe we'll hold public hearings, maybe we won't. But they never ask them to sign pledges of secrecy, which is what the Republicans did. Wisconsin, the home of Senator Joe McCarthy. I have a list here with the names of people in the State Department who are communists. Really? Are we going back to that? The agreement that these Wisconsin legislators signed tells each one of them, quote, you agree not to disclose the fact and or contents of such discussions or any draft documents within your possession, end quote. And all the agreements were also signed by Eric McLeod, an attorney of Michael Best and Friedrich, one of several attorneys who advise lawmakers on the maps. Oh, by the way, the legislative leaders have committed $500,000 in taxpayer money to Michael Best and Friedrich and the Troopas Law Office for their work on the maps. $500,000. Thanks, boys. Hey. So not only do these law firms... What do you want to bet they're Republican? Not only do they get $500,000 in taxpayer money, but they get to drop the agreements that the legislators have to sign swearing them to secrecy. Is that a sweetheart deal or is that a sweetheart deal? Huh? How about that? Wisconsin, you're right perched on the edge of the commode and they're about to flush you all away. Scott Walker, huh? Eric McLeod, by the way, the lead attorney in all this, the one who signed the agreements. I like the way the Journal Sentinel puts it, the Milwaukee paper. Attorney McLeod has drawn attention in recent months for providing legal services to State Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman under an arrangement in which Gableman did not have to pay. Oh, isn't that nice? Now, isn't Gableman, isn't he one of the swing voters who, what was that all about? Anybody remember? About labor law or public employees? Wasn't, I don't know, huh? I don't know. Senate Majority Leader in Wisconsin, Scott Fitzgerald, Republican, and Assembly Speaker, the other House, Jeff Fitzgerald, Republican. Oh, by the way, they're brothers. Who hold the two top spots in the state legislature, declined to comment because of, you know, the pending litigation. Well, because this is a matter of the courts now, we don't feel necessary to say that. This is what they always say, of course. Just thought you might want to know about this. You can find out more online if you are interested. Go to jsonline.com. That's the Journal Sentinel newspaper in Wisconsin. The criminality of the Republican Party is just boundless. It is just absolutely boundless. This filthy collection of scum that is meeting in the political the right wing conference. What's it called, Kathy? The conservative CPAC. These bottom feeders are meeting, having their annual meeting, I believe, in D.C. I saw something on the TV earlier today of this pig, Jim DeMint from South Carolina, talking about using the Super Bowl as an analogy. And he said, well, the one team, I forget which one he's referencing because it really doesn't matter, didn't start the game with the idea of cooperating with the other team. You get it? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're not cooperating with anybody. The sole objective of the Republican Party is to defeat Barack Obama because for some unknown reason they see him as an impediment to the continuation of corporate control of the country, when in fact he's not. You know what it is? They don't like him because he's only half Caucasoid.
In the dirt. And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shirt? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play.
Before the hour, this controversy about birth control, which is just about driving me crazy for the simple reason that it's all phony as hell. And the neo-fascists in this country, especially the three of the four, well, all four who are running for the nomination to be the Republican candidate for president, have seized on this issue and are filling the airwaves with lies and distortions. It's just unbelievable. And the terminally stupid out there are nodding their heads and eating this up. But here's something you may not know. And this was at Buzz Flash Nick Bauman, who is the news editor at BuzzFlash.com, he writes, Obama's decision to require most employers to cover birth control and insurers to offer it at no cost has created a firestorm of controversy. But the central mandate that most employers have to cover preventive care for women has been law for over a decade. This point has been completely lost in the current controversy. Well, I wouldn't say it's been lost, Nick. I'll say it has been deliberately excised by these Republican sons of bitches. You see, the Republican presidential candidates have to declare that Obama has launched a war on religion, liberty, and the Catholic Church. Oh, my God! Sarah Rosenbaum, a health law expert at George Washington University, said that despite the fact that this law has been in effect for years, no one screamed until now. Here's the background. In December 2000, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission ruled that companies that provided prescription drugs to their employees but didn't provide birth control were in violation of Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which prevents discrimination on the basis of sex. That ruling is still in opinion, is still in effect today. And the Bush administration did nothing to alter or withdraw it when it took office the next month, January 2001. It's been there. Now, Bush and his psychopaths would have leaped on that with both feet if it weren't established law. And where were the right-wingers during the Bush years? Where were you, you filthy, scrambling bastards? Where were you, huh? You're blaming it on Obama? And this was a law passed in 1964? Was Obama alive then? Title VII of the Civil Rights Act applies to all employers with 15 or more employees. Employers that don't offer prescription coverage or don't offer insurance at all are exempt because they are treating men and women equally. But under the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's interpretation of the law, you can't offer other preventive care coverage without offering birth control coverage also. It's so simple. Now, will Mitt Romney point this out? Will Rick Santorum? Will Newt Gingrich? No, none of them will. And why not? A top former EEOC official who was involved in the decision told Mother Jones, which is where I'm getting this information, it was, we thought at the time, a fairly straightforward application of Title VII principles. All of these plans covered Viagra immediately, without thinking, and they were still declining to cover prescription contraceptives. It's a little bit jaw-dropping to see what is going on now. There was some press at the time, but we issued guidances that were far, far more controversial. Now, they're talking about the ruling in December 2000. After the EEOC opinion was approved in 2000, reproductive rights groups and employees who wanted birth control access sued employers that refused to comply. The next year, a federal court agreed with the EEOC's reasoning. Reproductive rights groups and others used that decision as leverage to force other companies to settle lawsuits and agree to change their insurance plans to include birth control. So, this has been in effect for a decade. But if you listen to these filthy, lying, duplicitous, dishonorable, cheating, thieving Republicans, it's Obama's fault. It's Obama's war. on the Catholic Church. Obama's war, to the point where Catholic bishops are ordering their parish priests to deliver denunciations from the pulpit. I don't know how to handle this. I think I will probably, since we're out of time, I'll probably try to revisit this later. But keep in mind that this rule has been in effect for the past, we're in the 12th year now. And during the 8 years of the Bush crime family, not a sound was made by this filthy, disgusting political right in this country. They wait until a re-election year for Obama and then start screaming like somebody is holding their genitals to a hot iron. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.